Greetings and welcome to Under the Fig Tree. My name is Tisha, your host for Under the Fig Tree today, and I am riding solo. So I just want to welcome you to this session of Under the Fig Tree. I'm truly excited about what I believe the Lord has laid on my heart to convey to you. And so let's get started. Today we're going to talk about who God is to you. And it matters because we can put limitations on who we feel God is to us. I remember one time I saw a vision, and in this vision, there was a box. And if you can imagine sticky notes, those like little yellow sticky notes with the glue on the back and the bottom of it is kind of loose. Well, that was on the box right by where the handles on the box were, and that handle on the box, was just the open area of the box. And so that sticky note was fluttering in the breeze. It was wind in the box. And what I knew from that vision was that I had God's all-powerful, all-knowing, creative being self in a box. And I had to take him out of the box. Now I'm still unboxing the Lord. As I've grown in Christ, but it is something that we have to do. We have to reconcile with us ourselves who we think Christ is. And so I'm going to start today, and you'll see me looking because my scriptures is over here, at Matthew chapter 16, and I'm going to read starting at the 13th verse. And it reads, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I am, the Son of Man am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was the Christ. Hallelujah. Father, we just pray that the word of God is a two-edged sword, piercing, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart today in Jesus' name. So as I read the scripture, such a powerful time in the Lord they were having. There was a revelation of Jesus Christ that was being revealed. The question Jesus had for them was, who do you say I am? This is the question of the ages. This is the question that you have to answer in the face of circumstances, that you have to answer when you're going through. Who is the Lord to you? Who you say God is matters. Whether he is God or not matters. It matters what the declaration of your heart and the posture of your living is like when you are declaring who God is to yourself and those around you. The world is going to tell you who Jesus is. They're trying to figure him out. The world identifies him as John the Baptist, Elijah, and many other things. And our world wants to quench or box in who Jesus is, because if he is who he says he is, then there's consequences to what's happening on the earth. Ooh. If he is who he says he is, then there are things that I need to deal with that I'm not quite ready to deal with. So the enemy will always use the world to try and define who God is, right? They want to define him as something that he's not, and he is the only way. Hallelujah. And so, although some identities are not necessarily bad, like, oh, he's a prophet. Yeah, he was a prophet, or he was a rabbi. And that was, yeah, he was a rabbi. Those aren't necessarily bad. It wasn't the totality of who God was. Sometimes we can have Jesus categorized or identified by our experiences or by what someone taught us. And that's what I want to get to the core root of today. Sometimes our experiences, good, bad, define who Jesus is for us, or sometimes it's what we've been taught or how we've perceived something that's happened. We must remember that our experiences are there to lead us into the knowledge of Christ, not to totally define who Jesus is. An experience in the Word, in God, in the glory, in is great. And I would say sometimes it's needed for certain things, but it is not the end all be all. We have to know who he is. Peter identified him as the Messiah. And this was significant because the Jews were looking for a Messiah. They were looking for someone who was strong and valiant, who would tear down the Roman system, who would raise up and be the God of that day that they desired. But yet Jesus showed up as a fiery, compassionate general, but he was not the Messiah they were looking for. He was dealing with a spiritual kingdom, not a physical kingdom. And I just want to ask you, how many times have you thought Jesus was going to show up in a way and he didn't show up the way you thought he was? And you have allowed that to define who Christ is for you. Jesus, Jesus, have mercy on us, God. And I'm not saying that you're sinning. I'm saying that God desires to heal that broken place in you. I'm saying that God wants to mend the pain of experiences that didn't line up to his word, that didn't produce, even if the outcome wasn't bad, it just wasn't what you asked for. And God wants to heal those places because they're real places. It was also significant that Peter identified him correctly because it told us three things. One, Peter had an intimate knowledge of God beyond his experience. Peter experienced the who of Christ, not simply the what. And his experience continues to evolve, but there had to be a level of this is the Christ through conversation, through the word that he saw, through everything that came through the lens of Peter, through the word of God, through the Torah is what they had at that time. He saw Christ. His experience only confirmed the word. Why am I talking about this today? Because a lot of people are having experiences. A lot of people are having experiences. A lot of people are having experiences that are not God at all, or they just didn't turn out how God or how you thought God should show up. And I just want to say to you, who do you think God is? Who is God to you? Number two, the foundation of Revelation was the catalyst for the church. Peter had a foundation that Jesus is the Christ. I may not understand him, but he is the Christ. A prime example of that is in John chapter 6, where the disciples are listening to Jesus call himself the Messiah, say that he is the bread that came down from heaven, and you need to eat my body and drink my blood. All left but the 12. All got offended in Christ but the 12. And in the word, it says, he asked the disciple, will you leave too? And he's, where will we go? Who are you? They had gone so far with Christ, there was nothing else but him. They maybe didn't understand that statement, maybe in their hearts disagreed with it, but they learned through their knowledge of who he was to trust him. And that's what I'm saying to you. There may be situations where you may not understand it. You may not even agree with it necessarily, but what you know is that I've been with him long enough, I know to trust him. And what they came to know, it was a spiritual drinking. It was bread and wine. It wasn't his actual flesh. But nobody, a lot of people didn't stick around long enough to know him and that they would be doing this in remembrance of him. Jesus. They had to stick around long enough to know who Christ was. Hallelujah, I feel his presence. God wants you to know him in a way that nobody else knows him. And what I mean by that, it's a personal relationship where he knows you and you know him by name. And this is who God wants to be to you. Hallelujah. The last thing, this revelation led to his repentance in times of distress. He hit a distressing time. Jesus was taken. The high priest had come. They were about to crucify him, and he denied Christ three times. Not once, not twice, three times. He went all into sin, right? But he knew the character of Jesus. He knew who he was. We have an opposite of that. We have Judas. who should have known he could, should have been able to repent. He could, but he didn't know the who. He only knew what he saw, the miracles, the signs, the wonders. If he knew the who of God, A, he probably wouldn't have betrayed him. But if he did, he would have known he could have repented. My God. Stephen, the first martyr of the church, knew who Christ was. In the midst of being stoned, he said, "Forgive them, for you know not what they do." That tells you right there, he knows the character of Christ. He knows God's heart for people, not what he was experiencing. What he was experiencing was hatred. What he was experiencing was just retaliation. He wasn't experiencing the love of Christ that these religious leaders were claiming to have for God. He experienced something, and he didn't let his experience dictate the love of Christ. What you decide God is for you and to you matters. What you put Jesus's name in matters. You know, a lot of people go around saying the name of Jesus in vain. They say it so flippantly. They put Jesus's name in things where he's not in. I need you to pay attention to what you're bringing your Jesus into. He needs to be in everything, but there's some conversations that need to be sanctified and holy to him. There are certain things in the way you walk and the way you carry yourself that are sanctified and holy unto the Lord. Jesus is asking you, who do you say I am? When you say I am, you are declaring an all-knowing God to your situation. So you says, when he says, who do you say I am? He says his name is I am. Who do you say I am? Jesus. Who are you saying I am is to you? Where have you limited God and put him in a box in your mind and your heart? What fear has encapsulated the glory of God that he is not being revealed fully in your life? This is what I want you to consider. Examine the I am factor in your life. Hallelujah. I am is not a result of outcomes, it's a result of relationship. What does that mean? If I'm believing, and I'm just going to use this because it's just easy, for a car, and I don't get the car, that doesn't mean God is not the I am. That just means I didn't get a car. That's it. What I can attribute to the I am is that he is faithful. So if he knows I need transportation, he's going to raise it up another way. He's going to use another means to get me to point A to point B. Even if it's my feet, I'm going to have the grace to walk it. The I am factor in your life has to be based on the who and not the what. I want to pray for you that, and when, as I'm talking about this, it's not that every area of your life has that. It's probably in a certain area. It's probably in an area where you've experienced something that just didn't go right. And you have diminished the God factor because of the experience. What I want to say to you today is take God out of the box. Cast that net again. The I am is ready to give you the fullness that he is. Allow you. He says, I have given you fullness upon fullness, grace upon grace. He's given you fullness. He wants you to live out that fullness. So I'm going to pray for you today that the fullness of God be unleashed upon you in a new way. Father, in the name of Jesus, as I pray for our friends and family, people all across the globe that listens to this, may the fullness of God impact them. May the places of hurt and pain where the enemy desired to rob people of their fullness, Jesus, the fullness of the relationship you have designed, may it be a turnaround. May the turnaround of the Lord come upon them in Jesus' name. May the turnaround of the Lord come upon them in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. God, I give you glory for that. I give you glory for that. May the turnaround of the Lord come upon them in Jesus' name. May they be full of the glory of God. May fullness abide upon them, Jesus. May they walk in the fullness of God forevermore, Jesus. Jesus, I just keep seeing people turning around in different nations. They're turning around. They're turning around. God, in that place where their heart has been torn and the fullness of God has not entered, let it be so. In any place where we've gotten low, where we need that refreshing, that refreshing of the Lord, let the fullness of your glory come upon them in Jesus' name. May there be healing even towards the end of this year into next year. May there be healing. May there be peace released where there were no peace. God, I thank you for doing a new thing. I thank you that you're bringing things full circle. I hear full circle, that he's bringing things full circle. So where there were things that were, for lack of a better way to put it, half done. So it started, but it never completed. It got to a certain point, but it just wasn't the fullness of the prophecy. In the name of Jesus, I break the assignment of despondency and hopelessness that the enemy had assigned to you. And I declare the full circle of hope, the full circle of breakthrough come now, Jesus. Maybe it's, oh, I didn't die in the crash, which is wonderful, but I'm still limping. I still have this or something is still broken that wasn't fully fulfilled. I see the fullness of time coming upon people. I will see kanda de Dios, so that the fullness of the Holy Spirit would come and rest upon people. The fullness of time would come and be redeemed in your life to bring you to that full place. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how long it's been. I don't care if you forgot about it. The fullness of time is coming upon it. And to God be the glory. May you give God the glory for the fullness of time being released. Jesus, Jesus, we thank you and we praise you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I hope you've enjoyed this short time. Who do you say that I am is to you? I just wanted to release that word. May the God of our grace keep you and bless you. Thank you for joining us. We always look forward to having you here, and we can't wait until you're with us again under the fig tree.